and we're holding on by the Mishnah on Chavdalat on the base. And continuing on the topic of cases where a woman miscarries the baby or has a baby, and mostly so far we've been talking about miscarriages, what the dinim are when she's tomei from the birth as a yoledet, when not. The Mishnah says, Hamapelas shvir, if the woman miscarries a shvir. Now, we mentioned briefly a shvir before. The Gemara is going to talk about it later. Most of the Mephoshim understand that it's basically the skin inside, the outer skin of the baby. You have an embryo starts forming. You have like an outer skin, and then you have as time goes on, as the baby develops, then you have the various limbs are delineated within it. So if she miscarries a shvir, mole mayim, which is full of water, or liquid, or mole dam, or full of blood, or mole gnunim, or full of gnunim, Rashi explains, based on what the Gemara is going to say, that gnunim means like different colors of things. The Rambam has a bit of a different explanation. The Aruch also has a bit of a different explanation of it. It means like little worm-like pieces of flesh. Anyway, the point is, in all those cases, she doesn't have to be concerned that it's considered a baby and that she should be tummy from the birth, because when it's like that, then it can't really be considered a baby.
When is
that? When there's this outer membrane that would have become a baby, but instead of developing normally and limbs starting to develop in it, you have water or blood or multicolored things.
So
it's just a membrane, right? It doesn't really have a shape yet. On the other hand, once it starts developing a certain delineation of features, which the Gemara is going to talk about, examples of that, Keshav Lazachav Lodakeva, at that point then we have a suffix whether it would have been a boy or a girl, whether it's a male or a female embryo. Therefore, as we've discussed before, she has to have the Yemei Tumah of a female and the Yemei Tahara of a male to be Machmer in both directions. So it's 14 days of Tumah, and then following it, only 26 days of Dam Tohar. And then she has to bring her korban after 80 days rather than 40. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Hamapela sandal ashulya. If she miscarries a sandal, as we mentioned briefly before what a sandal is, the Gemara will talk about it in more detail, but basically it's a flattened out baby. So it's different than what we talked about yesterday, where there's no other baby with it, and it ended up being flattened out because it never developed. Here we're talking about
the chunk.
So there we were talking about a chunk that never really was delineated as far as features. Here we're talking about something different. Here we have, it was a baby that started developing normally, but then it was squeezed out, it was crowded out by another baby that was developing, by a twin usually, and then it ended up getting to be flattened out. So right. So the word sandal, either it comes from a type of fish called a sandal, which is like a flounder or something like that.
Right.
Or it comes from the word sandal, as in the sandal that you wear on your foot, because again, it looks like the bottom of that. Whatever it is. So Rashi just says that there's sandal below Vladakar. If there's a sandal, then there's going to be another baby with it. So now what it is like this, therefore. So if the other baby is a girl, then there's no issue, because then you have, if we're going to learn later on that if a woman has twins, a boy and a girl, normal twins that is, then fine. We give her the Yemei Tumah and Yemei Tahara just for a girl. We ignore the boy for that purpose. So she has 14 days of Tumah and 66 days of Dam Tohar. So if the regular baby that was born along with the sandal is a girl, then there's no suffix. But if the other one was a boy, then you have a suffix. Was the sandal also supposed to be a boy, or was it supposed to be a girl? And if it was supposed to be a girl, then you need your mate Toma and Tara for a girl.
If there was another baby with...
There is another baby with a sandal, by definition.
Right.
In sandal, blah, blah.
Right.
So therefore, if that other baby is a girl, then there's no issue. And she just has the 14 you made Toma for a girl, the 66 you made, the 66 days of Jam Tara for a girl, and that's that. We ignore the sandal. If the other one was a boy, that's where you have the suffix. So that's when you have the suffix, because if this one was a boy also, then she just has the Yemei Tumah and Yemei Tahara for a boy. But if the live baby was a boy and then the sandal was actually supposed to be a girl, then you need Yemei Tumah and Yemei Tahara for a girl. And if not, then you need Yemei Tumah and Yemei Tahara for a boy. So because of that, you have the same suffix. Oshilya, or also if she miscarries a placenta, which doesn't have a baby along with it, same thing. Ain shilya below vlad, there can't be a placenta without an accompanying baby. So you have the same thing. The baby was resorbed, but again, you have the question, was it a boy, was it a girl? Teshuv l'zachar v'lo nekeva. So then again, you have the same thing that she has a suffix, whether she has to do the Yemei Truma and Tara for a boy or for a girl, and therefore we have the Yemei Truma for a girl and the Yemei Tara for a boy. If the live baby that was born along with it, well, first of all, okay, in the case of a shulia, there doesn't necessarily have to be another live baby with it. It should just be, you have just this shulia, and it's a suffix whether the original baby that was with it was a boy or a girl. In the case of a sandal, again, you have two possibilities. Either the live baby born with it was a girl, or the live baby born with it was a boy. If the live baby born was a girl, no problem. She just needs the days for a nekeva. But if the live baby born with the sandal was a boy, you don't know whether the sandal was originally a male or a female.
You don't know either case what it was.
If the live one is a girl, it doesn't matter, because even if a woman has normal twins, a boy and a girl, you ignore the boy as far as days of Tumah v'Tahara, and you focus only on the girl. Because when you think about it, the days of Tumah of a boy are included in the days of a girl, 7 versus 14.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. The Shlema Dam Umayim. I can understand if the sphere, if the skin of the baby is full of blood or water, like Klumpi. I can understand. Fine, we're not going to consider that. That's not really considered to be a baby. Therefore, she's not Tomei from giving birth. Ela Gnunim. But if you find Gnunim, you find these multicolored things in there. Loich Necho Shema Vlad Ha'avim Animayach. Shouldn't you have to be concerned that it was originally a baby and then it dissolved, and then therefore she should be Tomei as having had a baby? I'm going to buy it. But here there was a birth, there was a miscarriage, whatever. There was a sphere. There was a sphere, and there is something inside. That's the question is, how do we know? It might have at one point been a baby. The cases we were talking about before, alterum, or it has no features or whatever, the features never developed in the first place. Here it may have started developing as a normal baby, and then it got, and then it broke down and became genuine. I'm going to buy it. Abaya says that's not possible. How much raw wine without being diluted do you think that this baby's mother drank during the pregnancy? That her baby would dissolve in the womb and become gnunim? It's not going to happen. So therefore, there's no real concern that might have happened. That a baby that was starting.
We're taking issue with what it was before the delivery.
Because it depends. Because all of the, before we were talking about where it never formed features in the first place. Here we're talking about it may have started to form, and then it does matter because here you have a sphere. Here you have, before you had just a chunk, here you have a sphere, which is the skin of a baby, and you have something inside it. And in fact, we're going to talk about later on, what about if you have flesh inside it? What are the genes? Here we're talking about, you have gnunim, which are these multicolored things. Sabayim is saying, yes, but practically speaking, such a thing wouldn't have come from a baby, because the only way that you would have it would break down like that would be like if she drank a huge amount of undiluted wine, and that's not going to happen. Rava Amar, Rava says a different answer. So Molly's now. After all, the expression in the Mishnah is that you found that the sphere is full of gnunim, meaning full, completely full. Now, if it were a baby originally, that then broke down and dissolved and became gnunim, you wouldn't have, it wouldn't be completely. It's mukhi means dissolved. If it was actually dissolved, if it broke down, then if mechzer chaser, necessarily the sphere would be missing some of its volume, because you would have, in other words, the original, as the baby was developing, you don't have the entire sphere, it's not full to the bursting point. So therefore, if it was an actual baby that broke down, then you would have that the entire sphere is not completely full. Some of it is full and some of it is not, representing the volume taken up by the baby and the volume that was not. Since the whole thing is completely full, since the Mishnah used the word molly, and then that implies it's not from a baby. Rav Adba Ava Amar Gvanim. Now, Rav Adba Ava says a third answer. After all, the Mishnah is using the word Gvanim, which means colors, multicolored things. If the baby had dissolved, it wouldn't be different colors. It would be all the same. It would be all one uniform color, because it would have come from the tissues of the baby that broke down, and it would just be one big mush of the same color. The fact that it's different colors implies that it never really started developing as a baby in the first place. It was a teratoma or whatever it is in medical lingo. Okay, fine. Tanya, since we mentioned, Abaya in his answer mentioned that hypothetically, if she had drunk a lot of a lot of undiluted wine, then that could affect her baby. So, and we said, Abaya is saying realistically that's not going to happen. She's not going to be able to drink that much to cause the baby to dissolve. So in this connection, the Gemara mentions Tanya with Unabraita, Abba Sholomer. Abba Shol says, I used to bury the dead. So I took a look at it, and I was analyzing the bones of the dead. And based on the condition of their bones, I could tell what they did while they were alive. What I found is somebody who drinks undiluted wine. Remember, in those days, their wine was much stronger than it is now. So if a person who drinks undiluted wine, then I found his bones look like they're burnt. So the high alcohol content affected his bones. On the other hand, if he drank his wine too diluted with water, more than he's supposed to, then I found that such people's bones are schuyin. What is schuyin? And actually, there's two explanations. One is that they looked black, and the other one is that they looked like they were dry. There was no marrow in them, no nothing. Hello? Karoi, but on the other hand, says Abishol, when I saw people who had drunk their wine properly diluted, then I would find that their bones still, even though they're dead, their bones still look healthy. They look meshuchin, meloshin meshach, which means oil. Like, yeah, they look fatty. They look whatever. They look like bones should look. Meshuchin basically means what? No, nowadays we don't drink that much wine anyway. But yeah, I mean, all wine is weaker. We don't have to dilute it in particular. But yeah, I guess it is mazuk. Effectively, it is mazuk, but it's mazuk to a normal degree. It's not. Abishol is talking about, like, if you have a person who drinks his wine, like you know, we learned before that usually wine is diluted with two or three parts water. Let's say, you know, Abishol is talking about, you have a guy who dilutes his wine with five or six parts water, so then his bones come out clean. Black or without marrow or whatever. If you drink it, no. Again, high is that's most stupid. His bones look like they were burnt.
So what's the difference?
The difference is burnt and black doesn't necessarily mean burnt. It could mean that the black could mean that it's just blackened. Too little water, then his bones are stupid. They're burnt. Too much water, they're soyin, which means either blackened or dried out without marrow. And karoi, if they diluted their wine properly, then their bones will be in normal condition. Meshuchin, meloshin meshach, which means the Aramaic word for oil, meaning that their bones will be fresh looking and healthy looking and whatever. Also, he says, also another thing I came across in my analysis of the bones is somebody who drinks much more than he eats. Also, his bones look burnt because again, drinking in those times usually meant wine. So even if the wine itself is diluted properly, but he's drinking so much more than he's eating, so it has the same effect and it burns his bones. No, we're talking in general. We mentioned the concept that if a woman were to drink a lot of undiluted wine, it could affect her baby. But now Abishol is saying more generally, when I was burying the dead, I noticed these kinds of things when I was looking at the bones. On the other hand, if a person eats much more than he drinks, then I found that his bones will be schoyin. Again, black or without marrow. Karoi, if he eats and drinks in the proper proportions, then I found that his bones are healthy looking. So in other words, what Abishol is telling us, in other words, you have to be careful with how you eat and drink. That when you eat and drink in proportionate amounts. You have a Gemara in Megillah that mentions that just like with the Karbanis, you should have you eating more than you're drinking, but still it shouldn't be so much more in one direction or the other. And also that the wine itself should be properly diluted, not too little, not too much. Okay. Tanya, we learn in a Braith, the Abba Sholomer. Another thing Abba Shol says, the Tamer of Yechanan, another version is that Rabbi Yechanan said this. You see, again, he says, I used to bury the dead. He was a member of a Chevra Kaddish. He's an undertaker, yeah. Okay. He says, one time, I was chasing a deer. Why not? You're allowed to chase a deer. And he wanted to catch it. He was trying to catch it. Yeah, okay. I entered as I'm running after the deer. I entered into the thigh bone of a dead person, which was a very large thigh bone, as Gemara is going to say in a second. Verasti achav shalosh parsois. I'm running through that bone 3 parsois, which is like 8 miles.
Good.
It's a good one, of course, for weight. Or tzvi lohi gaiti. I never did catch up to the deer. The coolest, like kolsa, and I wasn't even at the end of the bone yet. The bone was even longer than 3 parsois. But after 3 parsois, I gave up. When I turned backwards and went out, Omruli, the Chachamim told me, Shal Oig Melech HaBoshen. So you should know that bone is from Oig Melech HaBoshen, no less. That's why it was so large. So what's the deeper meaning of this? So there's a number of different things. Marsha says one is that Abba Shol is saying like this. I was trying, he says. I was trying to reach a degree of kedusha. The deer, in this case, being a kosher animal, represents a degree of kedusha. But I realized I'm not getting there. I never did catch up to the deer, and I realized the problem is I'm inside the thigh bone of a dead person. I'm still sunk in tumah. So therefore, I finally had to leave. I finally had to get myself out of that, and I ran in there 3 parsis, and then I found I have to get out. And the Chachamim told me, from Oig Melech HaBoshen, we find there's the famous Gemara in Brachas that tells us how Oig planned to destroy the Jewish people. He said the camp of the Jewish people is 3 parsa by 3 parsa. They picked up a mountain 3 by 3 parsa and was going to throw it on the Jewish people. And then ants came and invaded the mountain and it fell down on its head, et cetera, et cetera. So Marsha says the symbolism of it is the camp of the Jewish people, 3 by 3 parsa, is the place of ultimate kedusha. That's why the Tumeim had to go out of that. As opposed to Oig was trying to destroy that. He represents the ultimate tumah. So therefore, Abba Shol is describing that I was running through Oig Melech HaBashan's thigh bone, meaning that I was sunk into tumah, and they told me you should know what kind of tumah is that, the tumah of Oig Melech HaBashan, no less, where his ancestors, how did Oig come to be born in the first place? You have the famous medrash about the Malachim, shortly before the Mabul, who told Hashem, we'll go down to earth, and we'll be better than the people, and they ended up being the Nephilim, and they became even worse, and they were Mazana, in other words, so it's a lesson about the danger of getting trapped in that kind of trauma, and then a person thinks, meanwhile, I'm gonna run after Kedusha, I'm gonna catch it, and he never does catch it.
Spoke about this by this room, does a Malach have a...
Oh, does a Malach have a Yetzirah, right. Mm-hmm.
This is one of the things that when they came down here and they were dressed into a goof.
Into a goof, then they have a Yetzirah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Tanya, Abba Shol, I'm a Kovim Mason. You see another story, Abba Shol says, I was burying the dead. Pamachas Niftecha Ma'ora Tachta, one time a cave opened up below me. And I wound up, I found myself standing in the eyeball of a dead person up to my nose. Well, the Pashto says, on the surface, what it means is, in other words, like he fell into somebody's eyeball. There was somebody's eyeball, a huge eyeball over there that he fell into, and like he's almost drowning in there in the liquid inside the eye up to his nose. When I went back and I got out of there, Omru, they told me, Ayin Shalav Shalom, Hosa. That was the eye of Avshalom, the famous Avshalom, the infamous Avshalom, who rebelled against David and tried to make himself king. Well, the point is, the Marsha says here also it's symbolic. What we're saying is the Gemara mentioned, the Mishnah mentions in Sota that Avshalom, the Mishnah mentions over there actually that Avshalom was very proud of his hair and he ended up getting hanged by his hair from a tree over there, and that's how he got killed. This is the Avshalom who rebelled, the David's son who rebelled against him. Mizmul David, Bavoth, and Avshalom, right? He got caught in the tree. He got caught by his hair in a tree and he's hanging there, and then Yoav came and killed him, but anyway, the point is, we also find that Avshalom had a very greedy eye. He's looking to take what doesn't belong to him, David's kingship. He took David's 10 kalagshim and raped them. So Avshalom is his mother with Macha, who was Yifas Toyah.
Oh, so.
So you have the famous story, you have the famous Gemara. I think we learned it in Sanhedrin, where Hushai, David's friend, tells him that you know why you're in this trouble in the first place is because you married Yifas Toyah, and marrying Yifas Toyah can lead to a Ben Sora murder, because that's why they're juxtaposed in the Sukkim. Anyway, the point is, Tamar Shah says it's not a matter of halacha, it's a matter of that's how it could be. That you're allowed to marry Yifas Toyah. However, you should be aware if you marry Yifas Toyah, you're taking your chances that you have Ben Sora. The Yifas Toyah we're talking about in Parshas Kisei, a Goyish woman that you capture in battle, and that's Yifas Toyah.
Oh, you mean
Yeah. Anyway, so the point here is, Marshall says, similar idea as before, is that Abba Shaul was telling us that how he almost drowned in the eye of Avshalom, like in the desire and then whatever of Avshalom for things that. So his mother was a goyter who converted. But that's a discussion for us. Because you're allowed to convert her, because that's how you pop prayer with. You know what? Let's talk about it later, because we got
quiet. If
she doesn't want to, then that's another matter. Hold on. Let's talk about it afterwards. Okay, we'll talk about it afterwards. Okay. Anyway, the point is that, so again, the symbolism is that Abba Shaul is saying there's the danger of getting caught up in the kind of thing of Avshalom where he has this huge eye that wants everything that he sees, and then some, and a person can drown in it all the way up to their nose representing where their neshama is, by Yipasaf of Nishmas Chaim, and then you have to extricate yourself from there, and you realize that you were getting sunk into Avshalom.
Right.
Good question. Okay. The Shema Tomah, the Gemara continues, you might think to say, okay, Abba Shaul Nana Tava. Maybe Abba Shaul was a short person. So, okay, he fell into this eyeball. Doesn't mean it's a particularly big eyeball. He happens to be a short person. You should know, no. Abba Shaul Oruch B'dore Hava. You should know Abba Shaul was the tallest person in his generation. But Reb Taufan Magiel Ksefer, Reb Taufan, who's from the next generation, only reached to the shoulders of Abba Shaul. But Reb Taufan, and in turn, Reb Taufan Oroch B'Dorehav, Reb Taufan was the tallest in his generation, Reb Meir Magil Sefer, Reb Meir only reached his shoulders, Reb Meir Oroch B'Dorehav, next Reb Meir in his generation was the tallest, but Rebbe Magil Sefer. Well, on the simple thing, we're saying that once we're mentioning the moshul about Abba Shaul being falling into this eyeball, we want to stress that he was very tall, and therefore you have to realize the size of this eyeball. In Bipnimius, what it means is that we're not necessarily talking about physical height. We're talking about spiritual height. We're talking about the level, the level of Ruchnius that each one of them reaches. Well, we don't know. But the point is, for example, here we're talking about beginning from Abba Shaul and going downward. But the point is, for example, it talks about Chassidus, the idea when we say, the pasuk describes that Shaul was Meshichmei v'mayla gavaya mitola'am. He was taller than everybody else from his shoulders and up. So in Chassidus, it talks about the idea, the shoulder, the head of a person represents their intellect, of course, Chachma bin Adam. The shoulders already represent the midst. So saying that his shoulders were taller than everybody else's head means, the Pnimius, that his midos were higher than everybody else's sacral. And that's what suited him to be king. His particular midos, the way he had refined them, to the extent that they were higher than most people's sacral. So our Gemara might mean in the same vein that, for example, Abba Shaul was so tall that Reb Taufan from the next generation only reaches to his shoulders, meaning Reb Taufan's motion, Reb Taufan's intellect is only able to reach to the same to the same level of Ruchnius as Abba Shaul's mid. And so
what happened again? Was it big Russian?
Abba Shaul is not Abba Shaul in our Gemara. Is it
not
Shaul? We're not talking about we mentioned Avshalom's eye. We're not talking about Avshalom's height over here. We're talking about Avshalom's eye. Now we're taking Abba Shaul's height. Abba Shaul, like the original Shaul, was a very tall person.
Not Avshalom.
Not Abba Shaul. Right.
Like
the original Shaul, Hamelech, Abba Shaul, the Tana, was a particularly tall person. But Reb Taufan Magiel Ksefer, and Reb Taufan reached only his shoulders. Reb Taufan Oroch B'Dorah Hava, Reb Meir Magiel Ksefer. Reb Meir Oroch B'Dorah Hava, Rebbe Magiel Ksefer. Rebbe reached only to Reb Meir's shoulders. Rebbe Oroch B'Dorah Hava. Rebbe himself was the tallest in his generation. Reb Chia Magiel Ksefer. Reb Chia only reached Rebbe's shoulders. Reb Chia Oroch B'Dorah Hava. Next, Reb Chia is the tallest in his generation. Rav Magiel Ksefer. And Rav could only reach to the shoulders of Reb Chia. Rav Oroch B'Dorah Hava, Rav Yehuda Magiel Ksefer, Rav Yehuda, the great Talmud of Rav, only reached his shoulders. Rav Yehuda Oroch B'Dorah Hava, but Abba Daila Magiel Ksefer, Abba Daila, Rashi, well, Abba rather, Abba Daila, he's mentioned in a few places in chat. Rashi translates that Daila means Shamash de Rabbanon. He was a Shamash to the Chachamim, or Hagoy Tabach changes it specifically, he was a Shamash of Rav Yehuda. So Magiel Ksefer, he only reached Rav Yehuda's shoulders. Next, Paushtavina de Pompadita. Rashi explains that Paushtavina is the name of a person. So it means a certain person of that name who came from Pompadita. Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim argue with that because then the expression would be Paushtavina mi Pompadita. Just like we have in the Gemara, for example, Rabacha mi Difti and other such things. So therefore they explain that Paushtavina is the name of some kind of official. Tosfos brings from Rashbam that it means Loshen Parnosus Mamshala. So it means some kind of officer, some kind of official or mayor or whatever of Pumbedisa. So anyway, Koyle La'ada Daila Ad Palge, he only reached until Ada Daila's waist, until Ada Daila's middle, until his middle. But Koyle Alma, Koyle Parshavina, the Pumbedisa Ad Chause, and everybody else around only reaches till the waist of Parshavina de Pumbedisa. So in other words, the point is, so we have 10 different levels of getting progressively shorter in generations to come. The Maharal talks about over here, you have 10, because 10 is a number of shleimos, and the first 8 of them, each one reaches the shoulder, and then the next 2 are like scaling it down for everybody else, so therefore it's only up to the midsection or the waist or whatever. Anyway, the point is, we see from that, however we understand it, that Abishol was particularly tall. And therefore, when he says that he was drowning in Avshalom's eye, then you understand from that how big Avshalom's eye was. So again, it doesn't necessarily mean the Gashmius. Avshalom the Pashtus in real life was a normal-sized person. What we mean, primarily, the Ruchniistic scale of his eye, that he desired so much, he desired Malchus Beis David no less for himself, that therefore it can be described as a huge eye that even a tall person like Avshalom could almost drown in. Okay.
The eye representing his greed.
The eye representing his greed, exactly. Right. Okay. Getting back to the matter of our Mishnah, of the case of a woman who miscarries a shvir. So shalu lifnei Rebbe. A shvir means, we said, means the outer skin of a baby. You have a baby starts forming in the womb. You have like an outer skin, and then within it, you have the various organs start developing. So shalu lifnei Rebbe. Hamapelat shvir mole boter ma'u. What about if the woman miscarries a shvir that's full of flesh? So in the Mishnah we mention where it's full of water or blood or gnunim, which are multicolored pieces. But here, what about if it's full of flesh? Amalahem lo shamaiti. So Rabbi says, I didn't hear from my Rebbeim what the din would be in that case. Amalafon of Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi tells him, kach ama abba, I'll tell you. My father, Rabbi Yosi, said, if it's full of blood, then she'll be tomei not as having given birth, but as a nida, because that would be in accordance with the opinion we had a few days ago in the Gemara, where if she miscarries a chaticha, a chunk of flesh that has blood inside it, then we talked about that she might be tomei from nida, because the fact that there's flesh all around the blood doesn't matter. It's not a chaticha. It's min b'mina. But she wouldn't be tomei from birth. Mole boter tmei aleda. And Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi says, my father Rabbi Yosi also said that if the shvir is full of flesh, then she is tomei from her birth. It's the skin of the baby, right? So therefore, so there you go. Then so she is tomei. Amale, however, Rebbe says, I can't accept that. If you had told us a completely new statement in the name of your father, Rabbi Yosi, Shema Nucha, then we would hear you out and we would accept that what you're saying is valid. But now you told us two statements. And the first statement that you said about that if it's full of blood, that she's tomei as a nida, not as a yolevis, and that is not according to everybody. That is kesumchus sh'omer mishum remeir. That's like sumchus who said in the name of remeir, as we learned the other day at the beginning of the parak, that sumchus held the opinion that if you find blood in the middle of the trunk, in the middle of the chaticha, then she's tomei nida. So we know that's only according to the mayor, and the halacha is not like that. Hanami, well, then the second part that you're saying about that if it's full of bosser, she should be tomei, Shema Rabbi Yeshua Amra. Maybe that's only according to a das yochid. Maybe it's only according to Rabbi Yeshua. The ain halacha to Rabbi Yeshua. And the halacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua. Ditanya, as we learn in a braisa, Hamakelos shvir she'enei merukam, if the woman miscarries a shvir which has not started forming, the organs of the body have not started forming yet. Later on, at the bottom of the omud, we're going to describe what a shvir merukam looks like. Merukam means basically that it already has the basic shape of a human being in miniature. So there comes a point in the development of the embryo when you have, as Gemara is going to explain, at the bottom of the omur, when you have it's recognized, basically it's recognizable as an embryo, not necessarily as a human embryo yet, but it's recognizable as an embryo.
A shvir is just like
a skin, and then inside that skin is where the organs start developing. So like this, you have a shvir she'enu merukam, where it's not defined even, you can't even look at it and say this looks like it's developing into a baby. It just looks like a skin with flesh inside it, let's say. And Rabbi Yeshua says that if she miscarries that, Rabbi Yeshua and Mevlad, Rabbi Yeshua says it is considered a baby, so she's tomei from giving birth. So Rabbi says to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, this that you quoted from your father, Molid Boster Tmei Aleda, may be only according to Rabbi Yeshua. So therefore, so not necessarily is that valid of Yalach. Okay. This machloikis about whether the shvir is considered a baby and therefore whether the mother is tamei from the birth or not is only ba'ochur, is only if the contents of the shvir are cloudy, as opposed to clear liquid, like you have a cloudy or opaque or whatever liquid. So then, it's very possible that it was a baby that dissolved, and that's why you have this opaque liquid that was originally what was developing into the baby, and then it dissolved. So then we would say there's a machlokes whether it's a baby or not. Rabbi Yeshua would say yes, and the Chacham would say that no. Aval b'tzolul, but if the liquid inside the chair is clear, divrei hakol ain't it what? Ochre means not so much tinge, but like opaque, like not see-through, as opposed to if it's solo, if it's a clear, oh, yeah, transparent liquid, then divrei hakol ain't vlad, then everybody would agree it's not a baby because a baby is not going to break down into something like that. Tosfos learns differently, actually. Tosfos learns that we're not talking about a liquid that is opaque versus see-through. We're talking about flesh that is opaque versus see-through. Okay. Opaque means not see-through. So that's Rish Lakish's understanding in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Omer b'tzolul machlokes. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says no. The machlokes of Rabbi Yeshua, the Tana, that is, and the Chachamim is where it's tzolul, is where it's clear, where it's see-through.
So one says
it's only when it's ochur, when it's opaque, and the other one says right. Well, the question is, so we have a question. What does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mean? B'tzolul machlokes avu ba'ochur divrei hakol vlad. Does he mean Rabbi Yeshua would hold that even if the liquid is clear, then it's considered a baby, and the Chacham would say that not. But if the liquid or the flesh, according to Tosfos, is opaque, if it's not see-through, divrei hakol vlad, then Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would say that everybody, even the Chachamim, would agree it is a baby. Or maybe isn't a machlokes, and maybe does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mean that they're arguing in both cases, whether it's clear or whether it's not clear? We're not sure what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi means. Well, we're not finished yet. The Gemara says, Maisi. The Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says like this, Es zu darash Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, this is the Tanner of Yeshua that we quoted before, darshin a posik as follows. The posik says, after the chate tadas, Vayas Hashem alekim la'odim ala'ishte kosnes er vayabishem, Hashem created for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. So what do we learn from that? Besides the simple meaning that it means that Hashem made clothing for them, it also means melamed. From this we learn she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisa ur la'adam, that Hashem does not create a skin for a person elim kein noitzar, unless they've been formed. So in other words, if there's a skin, then it means there's already a baby forming. Alma ur talya milta. So we see then it should depend whether there's a skin or not. If there's a skin, it means that basically, yeah. The Tosfos actually explains, because the word kosnes or, you know, usually in cheder or whatever, which we translate kosnes or means garments of skin. In other words, that Hashem took leather and made garments for them. Rashi on the pasuk explains that maybe it can mean, for example, that Hashem took like fur from animals which grows on the skin of animals and made them clothes. But Tosfos explains over here that the targum unkelos on that pasuk translates kosnes ur as garments for their skin. It's garments to protect their skin. In other words, yeah. So in other words, the point is that, so therefore we learn from that skin, the fact that Hashem creates skin as a protection for a person implies that there's already a baby, that there's already a person there to protect. So therefore it should just depend whether there's a skin or not. Loishna ochor v'loishna tzolul. Shouldn't matter whether the contents of that skin are clear or opaque or clear. So, Iyam at Bishlema b'tzolul machlokes. So now let's go back to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Again, we had Rish Lakish saying that if the contents of the ur are clear, then everybody agrees it's not a baby. We had Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saying one of two possible things, because we weren't sure what he said. Does he mean that the machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim is either way, or is it only a machlokes when it's clear, but if it's opaque, everybody agrees it's tamei? So, Iyam at Bishlema So if you say the machlokas is when the liquid inside the skin is clear, then you would say, okay, well, that's what the pasuk accomplishes for us. Rabbi Yeshua's drasha would be to tell us that even though the liquid inside the sphere, inside the skin is clear, but since his drasha tells us that a skin implies that there is a baby, then that would mean even if the liquid is clear, we still consider it a baby. Because the fact that there's a skin means there must have been a baby at one point. Ellie. But if you say the whole machloikus is, like the Shlokish says, only when the liquid inside there is opaque, lamalikra, then why do I need a pasuk to tell us that in that case it should be a baby? Svara ba'almahu. It's a plain svara that if you have opaque liquid in there, it's likely to be a baby that dissolves. And you're saying that if the liquid is clear, then it's not considered a baby, even if one's Rabbi Yeshua. So then what is his drasha accomplishing for us? Evidently then, the machloikas between Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim must be when the liquid is clear. Shmamina. Okay, that proves it. So that's what Rabbi Yeshua wants to tell us with his drasha. Even though the liquid inside the sphere is clear, and you would think, how could it possibly come from a dissolved baby? Nevertheless, the very fact that there is a sphere, the very fact that there is a skin, shows that there was a yitzira, shows that there was a baby being formed in there, which then dissolved.
What is it? It's like a bag made of skin and water?
Essentially, that's what a sphere is. It's a bag made out of skin, which inside it, the fetus starts developing. You know, you have, and in modern embryology, you know, they have the three layers of skin, the ectoderm, the endoderm, the mesoderm, or whatever, which sort of fold over themselves, they form, I didn't say it, like we're talking about the content of it. You have it folds over and makes
liquid.
We're talking about the outside layer is the sphere, and then there's what's inside it. So now we're talking about if you have a sphere, if you have these three layers that are folding over themselves and starting to form the tissues of the baby, and inside it you have liquid, then Rabbi Yeshua apparently...
Three layers of the baby is not liquid.
I didn't say that it was. The sphere itself is layers, and then inside it, what do you find inside it? Are you finding something solid or are you finding liquid? That's the point. And we're saying, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he said, so now we understand, based on Rabbi Yeshua's drasha, he means even if the liquid inside there is clear, and you would think, how could that possibly have come from the organs of the baby that were forming inside these three layers, how could it be that they dissolved? Nevertheless, the pasuk teaches us that must be exactly what happened. The very fact that there are layers of skin over there shows that a baby was starting to form.
Because if it's not, if it's changed, there's no machlokes.
Because if it's offer, well, then we can say it's a svara. It came from a baby, right? Yeah.
So we're coming. The outcome of this is that it would be sort of given a born to a.
So therefore, it would be considered a birth, and therefore the mother has the usual dinim of tumah v'tahara, the usual 7 or 14 days of tumah, and the usual 33 or 66 of tahara. Right?
So the conclusion is there's no skin, basically.
Then there's nothing to talk about. But here, where there is a skin, even though Rabbi Yeshua would say, even though there's clear liquid in it, nevertheless he would say it's still considered a baby. The Chachamim would say that not. The Chachamim would say, as we're going to talk about later, only when it's a shvim rukam, only when it starts forming, only when it starts shaping into the shape of a baby. Yeah.
But when you use the word skin, what exactly do you mean, a membrane?
Yeah, some membrane. Skin. Yeah, skin might well. I mean, these three membranes that we're talking about, one of them ends up becoming the skin of the baby, and the next one ends up becoming the muscles, and the next one ends up becoming the internal organs.
You're talking about the membrane. Skin is very different.
Okay, whatever. Call them membranes if you want. Fine. Okay. Fine. Okay. The Gemara continues. V'chein amar Rav Nachman amar Rav Avua machloikas v'achur. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav Avua the same as Rish Lakish said before, that the machloikas between Rav Yeshua and the Chachamim is only when the liquid inside the sphere is cloudy or opaque. Aval b'tzol, but if it's clear, divrei hakol ein evlad, then everybody would agree it's not a baby. So Rav Nachman had said the same thing. Eisvei Rava l'Rav Nachman. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, I have a contradiction to you from a Mishnah. We learned in Bechoros, we talked about over there in Bechoros, we had the situation over there where you have a baby, you have an animal, you have a kosher animal, a cow, a sheep, or a goat, where when they have a first birth, they have a firstborn male and it's a Bechor, and it has all the dinim of a Bechor. Suppose that previously the mother animal had a miscarriage, then we say the next baby after that is not considered a Bechor. So, So we said that. So we said Ella Amru. So we talked about over there that when do we say that the next baby that's born is considered a bechor and when is it not? Ella Amru. So the Chachamim have said Simon Vlad Behema Daka Tinuf. When it comes to a Behema Daka, a sheep or a goat, how we know that there was a baby is if there was a Tinuf. This is it, right. So if we have a Tinuf, if we have the mother animal mated, the mother animal mated, and a baby started developing, but then it dissolved and became Tinuf, which means like a smear of blood that flows out of her womb. So then we say that means there was a baby there and it dissolves, and therefore the next baby is not a bechor. Begasta shilya, in the case of a behema gasta, cattle, we know that there was a previous miscarriage only if it miscarries a placenta, because ain't shilya below vlad, a placenta implies that there was a baby. The isha, when it comes to a woman, when do we say that it's considered that she had a previous miscarriage, where therefore her next baby is not considered a bechor? Shir v'shilya. If she miscarries a shvir, or she miscarries a shilya.
One of the
shvir is the skin, this membrane inside which the baby is forming, and then the shilya is the placenta, the larger bag inside which, in the larger bag, also with one end of it being the placenta, inside which the baby forms. And the point is, the ilu shvir bebehema leipater. But what's the implication, says Rava? The implication is that if an animal miscarries a shvir, we don't consider that to be a baby to the extent that the next one should not be considered a bechor.
But a shilya, yes.
But a shilya, yes. So how is that relevant over here? Iyam at the shlema b'sol. One said that's what we're going to have to figure out. Iyam at the shlema b'sol machlokas. So if you say that the machlokas of Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim is specifically where the liquid inside the sphere is clear, mishumahachi, then we would say like this. Isha, when it comes to a woman, the Rabbi Bakra, where we have an extra thing in the pasuk to tell us that a skin implies that there was a baby, the pasuk that we quoted before, Vayas Hashem and the Kimla Adam Ola Ishtai. So then, Potter Boshfir, then we would say in that case, if she miscarries a shfir, then that shows it's considered a baby, as Rabbi Yeshua is saying, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua would say the next baby is not a bechor. The behema delo rabbi kra, on the other hand, by an animal, you don't have any pasuk implying that the same thing is true of an animal, that a shfir forming means that there was a baby forming. So therefore,
we have a but not for a behema.
Then shafir. Then loy poter bo, so it doesn't pater the behema from her shafir. Well, then we understand it. Well, Eli amit ba'ocher machlokas, but Rava says, like what we asked before on Rish Lakish, if you're going to tell me the whole machlokas of Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachamim is only when the liquid inside the shfir is cloudy, mechti, well then let's consider, at that point we don't need a pasuk to tell us that a baby was forming. The very fact that the liquid is cloudy shows that it's coming from a baby that dissolved. Therefore, svarahu, so it's a svara that there was a baby, maishna isho, maishna behema. So why would it be any different with a woman versus a behema? Why, if a woman miscarries a shvir with cloudy liquid in it, would we say that it is a baby? And if an animal doesn't, we would say it's not. If an animal does that, we would say it's not a baby. Obviously, it must be that it's talking about the solo machlokas, that the machlokas is only when the liquid inside it is clear. And Rabbi Yeshua has his drasha from the pasuk to tell us that it's different with a woman and an animal. And the Chachamim would disagree because they learn the pasuk differently. So you, Rav Nachman, are telling us that the machlokas is only when the liquid is cloudy, but in that case, why is there a difference between a person and an animal?
Because a cloudy should be...
It should be a svara, that there was a baby there, right?
Could you have a svara?
Yeah, you can have a svara and say that therefore there was a baby, and therefore the next one is, and therefore the next one is not a bechora, and therefore the next one is not a bechora. The answer is, Rav Nachman answers, Mi sabar Rabbi Yeshua mifshit poshet lay. Do you think that Rabbi Yeshua is saying that he knows for a fact that the sphere is a baby? Not necessarily. Rabbi Yeshua sapuki mesapke lay. What it is Rabbi Yeshua has a suffix. Yes, he has his drosha, but does that mean it's always given that when there's a sphere with liquid inside it, even clear liquid, doesn't mean necessarily it's a baby? Maybe, maybe not. Therefore, v'adol ha'chol ha'chomra v'ha'chol ha'chomra. So in each case, he says, we have to be machner. Gabi,
he says what?
He says it's a suffix whether that was a baby.
For what? For a clear
So therefore, in each case, you have to go to Chumrah. So that results in the difference with a woman versus an animal. Gabe isha, when it comes to a woman miscarrying a shvir with clear liquid, demamoinahu, where after all, it's a question of mamoin, because you have a question, do you have to do pidyon haben on this animal or not? On this baby, do you have to do pidyon haben, on the next baby? The next baby that's born, if her firstborn was a shvir, then do you have to do pidyon haben on the next one? It's a suffix on mamon. So therefore, suffix mamon on the kula. So a suffix on money, we're going to go to the kula and say that the next baby doesn't need a pidyon haben. As opposed to gabe behema di isurahu as of the ikka, as opposed to by an animal, if the next baby is a bechor, you have a matter of isur, the ikka where there's an isur, the gabe gizav avoida, where then the next, just a second, this is all the ones that are Yeshua we're talking about.
Yeah,
this is all we're talking about.
But
the fact of the matter is, a bechor of an animal, you do have a din of gizav avoida, you're not allowed to shear it, you're not allowed to work it, as we learned about in bechor.
Not with a person,
all you only have the question of pidyon haben or not. So therefore, suffix is sort of l'chumra. So therefore, as a suffix of an iser, you have to go l'chumra. So that's why we're saying, therefore, if a woman miscarries a shulya, we say it is considered a baby versus if an animal miscarries a shvir, we don't consider it. Not that for sure we don't consider it. It's a suffix whether we consider it. So in the case of the woman, then the result is the next baby is a suffix b'chor. So do you have to do pidyon haben or not? Hamoitz b'chavel avaraya, so you don't. But in the case of an animal, we have to consider as if it wasn't a birth, and then the next one is a suffix b'chor, and therefore you can't shear it, you can't work with it.
So really, we determine the first outcome by the second outcome.
Initial
pregnancy by the next
pregnancy. Well, okay. Yeah, I guess you can look at it that way, yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, so the question is, Hochinami Gabi Isha Sophic Trumal, Hochinami Gabi Isha Sophic Trumal Chumra. And when it comes to a woman, we also have, there's also a Sophic of Truma, and on that we're Machner also. So, okay. No, we're saying again that maybe the Shvir is a baby, and therefore she has a Sophic whether she's coming.
Okay.
Oh, that's a different suffix, obviously, but the point is, you still right.
One is what?
You have the suffix of mamun, so that we say is not considered a baby. Right. But on the other hand, we have the suffix of whether she's tumim.
It's just a lab.
It's a lab, but still. Okay, so the question is, what do you mean Rabbi Yeshua has a suffix whether a shvir is a baby or not? Well, Krokama, he brought a posik about kofnes or. The answer is midrabbanan across machabalmu. Not necessarily does he mean that this whole concept is daraisa, because he would consider that it's only midrabbanan. It's only an asmachta. The pasuk that we said before, kosneser, that Hashem created kosneser. Vayas Hashem alakim l'adam l'ishti kosneser. We said that Hashem created garments for adam and chava's skin. So Rabbi Yeshua had said that means that Hashem creates a skin only if there's a baby. The pasuk is right after the chetet dash. Come on, where else is he going to talk about adam and chava's clothes? Come on. So the point is, Rabbi Yeshua had said before that we learned from that of Jerusha, that Hashem creates a skin only if there's a baby. But now we're saying, actually, that's not necessarily the case. The pasuk is only an asmachta. This that we're saying, we have to consider the shvir to be a baby, is only a sophic, is only dirabanan, that we have to be machmir on either side of things. Which means, by the way, that then when the Gemara finished off before, Shma Mina, that we said, for sure we proved that he holds by solo, not necessarily is it such a Shma Mina, after all. Now that we're saying, then we undo that. Okay. It's an Asmachta. Right. So which means also that we don't know, therefore, whether Rabbi Yeshua is saying his din only when the liquid is clear, or even when it's, or only when it's cloudy. Okay. Okay. So now Rabbi Chanina bar Shlamya asks that. What's the bottom line as far as halacha? Har Rebbe, Har Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yosi, V'Har Rebbe Oshia, V'Har Rebbe Yeshua B'Maim. You have all these Amoraim, all these Tanoim and Amoraim that we quoted before that talked about when a shvir is a baby and when isn't. Meir Kaman Shvir Light. You Rab, who do you hold by? Amalei, who is halacha? Amalei, the Ram says, Ani Omer, I say, Echad Zeva, Echad Zeva, Enech HaSheshes. Regardless what the shvir contains, whether it contains clear liquid, cloudy liquid, flesh, I say that you don't have to worry, and it's not considered a baby, and that it's not considered a baby, and she doesn't, she doesn't have the Meitum of a Tara, we don't consider it to be a baby at all.
We said the Allah is like, bro.
Well, one second, we're not done yet. So Tosfos 6 price. Rav would say that he would understand, like Rav Shlokish and like Rav Nachman, that Rav Yeshua is talking about when there's cloudy liquid in there, and he says it's a baby, and the Chachamim say that not. So if it's clear there's nothing to talk about for sure, he says even Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't say that's a baby. If it's cloudy liquid, it's only Rabbi Yeshua says, but the Halach is not like him. So therefore, nothing to worry about. On the other hand, Shmuel Omer, Echad Zeva, Echad Zecha Sheshet. On the other hand, Shmuel says that either way, she does have to be Choshesh. Now, you may tell how she won't have, because maybe it's not a baby, but you may tell her 14 days in case it was a girl, that she's going to have. Okay. The Gemara says, as the Shmuel, if I may, Shmuel goes according to his own Svara, to keep Osir of Gimi Omar, because when Rav Gimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported, you should know, Olam Lodohu Shfir Ben Nahavda, you should know that never in Nahavda did they ever declare a case where a woman miscarried a Shfir. They never declared it Tahar. They always said that she's Tomei Leda. Dohu is the Aramaic word for Tahar. Levar Ma'ahu Shfira to Osir of Kameh Shmuel, with the exception of one time there was a Shfir that was brought to Shmuel. He put a hair on one side of the shvir, and then the chazya mehai gisa, and you were able to see the hair clearly through the other side. So it was more before you were talking about soul, where it's transparent, but not so transparent. You know, it's translucent, but not transparent. Here it was really transparent. Almost, he says, he needs to develop that
voice. The other day, how they made glass.
Yeah,
okay. And he said he doesn't have the technology to make transparent,
but that's translucent. So he said, in Issa de Vlad Havoy, if this thing had ever been a baby, would have a zig kula hai, it wouldn't be quite so transparent. It would be translucent. Light would pass through it, but not that it would be clearly, not that you could clearly see a hair from the other side. But other than that, Shmuel said that always a shfir does make the mother tamei leda, and therefore, so that's what Shmuel said. So as far as who's the halacha like, So as far as who's halacha like, first of all, I mean, well, usually we say halacha in Gini Issa Veheter is like Rab, although there are some Rishonim who say that maybe in this case it would be like Shmuel, since we're saying that Shmuel was very expert on this, that he's very expert, that every time he's able to look at it and then determine, okay, all right. So that's different opinions. Okay. I mean, okay. Okay, then the Mishnah said, V'im hoya merukam chula. Then we said, what do we do today? You know, in practice, pretty much anything that comes out of a woman, we're going to make her tame anyway. So you always have the issue of yes, she'll sit in a keder below dam anyway. So with that, given that any time that her womb opens more than a certain amount, there's inevitably blood coming out, then she's going to be tame anyway. All of this machlokas is really only talking about if it was what's called leida yaveshta, a dry birth, not accompanied by blood, right? If there's blood, then
there's
blood.
But
usually there'd be blood accompanying anyway, so it's a moot point.
And what do we hold?
We hold that a shvir, as the Mishnah has said, if it's mole mayim, then we're not worried, only if it was merukam, which is the next piece of Gemara. Okay. So we mayim merukam. If there's blood, then of course she's not there. So we said, if the shvir is formed, if it starts having the form of a baby, then we say she is tomei for the birth. And since we don't know necessarily whether it's a boy or a girl, then she has to do for zachar and a keva, the chumrah. So, Tana Rabban, we learned a braisa. Let's talk about the details of what it means, a shvir merukam. A zehu shvir merukam. Abba Sholom. The Abba Shol says, look at it, you know, we can go for weeks without mentioning Abba Shol, and here we have him twice in one day. So, the Abba Sholom. The beginning of the formation of the baby is from the head end. Now, Tosfos asks on that, because you have Abba Shaul himself says in a different Gemara that it starts developing from the navel. So Tosfos says what it means. So Tosfos brings over here two answers. One is that the girsa over here should not be meiroshoi, but it says on the side over here, a girsa kiroshoin, which means like a locust. So when the baby first starts forming, it resembles a locust. The embryo resembles a locust. So it says another possibility is maybe there'd be a difference between it starts growing from the navel, but the first part that's noticeable that has a definite shape is the head. Okay, anyway. The two eyes of the baby at that point look like two kippin of a fly. Rashi translates kippin as the eyes of a fly. A fly has very small eyes, so the eyes of this embryo look like that. Tani Rabchia Muruchokim Zemizeh. Rabchia interjects and explains in a braisa that those two dots that are the eyes are very far apart. when you have, when a baby first, when an embryo first starts forming, the eyes are like on the sides of the head. And then as the embryo grows further, then they come to their normal position. The two nostrils also look like the two steps, like the two eyes of a fly. Turn in a says they're very close together. The mouth of a baby at such an early stage is stretched out like a hair's width. It's a very thin line. It's gvia is like a lentil. So what does it mean gvia? So Rashi translates over here that Rashi translates gviyos means gid aver hazocha. That if it's a boy, then the genital organs at this point, at this very early stage, look like a lentil. Tosfos on Amabez argues with that and says that that's not what it means. It means that the body as a whole is shaped at this point like a lentil, and maybe the size of a lentil also. It's very small. The mahos and the keva, if this embryo was a girl, lidona kisaora laorka, then you look and see, you'll find that it has a cleft, that it has a split in it, like the split that you find in a grain of barley. Which eventually, if she had developed into a full baby, then that would be where her vagina is. But like this, even in an early stage, it's recognizable as a cleft, as a split over there that runs down the length. The baby at that very early stage, when it's only a shvir merukam, does not yet have delineated arms and legs. The arms and legs haven't really started developing yet. For all of Mefurish B'Kabbalah, this stage of a baby's development is what it says in a pasuk in Eov. Eov, in one of Eov's speeches, he's addressing Hashem and saying, "Halo tacholav katicheni, didn't you dissolve me like milk? V'chagvina taktieni, and then you harden me like cheese." Like describing, in other words, like the way the embryo first is a liquid, first the fertilizer of sperm and it fertilizes the egg, and then it starts hardening and becoming starting to develop into a form. Odu vosa tabisheni, you clothed me with skin and flesh, and you protected me with bones and gidim, where gidim are tendons and nerves and other such things. You did life and you did chesed with me. And your deposit, meaning that you deposited neshama in me, that protected my spirit, that kept me alive in the womb. Masha explains how actually each phrase in this pasuk refers to a detail of what we mentioned in this description over here. Anyway, the point is that that's a very early stage of the embryo's development, but you can already recognize that it has starting to have the form of a baby. So what do you do when you need to check it? The ein bodkenoisa b'mayim, so you don't examine this shvir merukam that you want to examine it to see what features it has, to see whether it has these features that it mentioned in this braisa. You don't check it by putting it in water, shamayim azin, because water is strong. Betodinosa, and it'll dissolve it. It's a very small thing, after all. Ela bodkenosa b'shemen. Rather, what you do is you examine this shvir by putting oil on it. Shashemen rach, because oil is softer, umetzachtechoy, and it makes it shiny. So this way, you'll be able to see the details. Ve'ein royin ela b'chama. When you're looking at it, you should only look at it in the sunlight, because again, that way you'll be able to see the small details. Continues the Braita. Kate said bodkenos. So how do you check it? So I'm going to address, what do you mean Kate said bodkenos? You could have minions. We just said you put oil on it and you put it in the sunlight. No. Ella bameh bodkenos leidein zocher huim nekevi. How do you check to see whether it's a boy, whether it was going to be a boy or a girl, so that you know whether the mother has the yimei tumah and tahara for a boy or for a girl? Abashol bar nash, ba'amila abashol bar remesh. This isn't the regular abashol. This is a different abashol. Says what you do is like this: maybe kesam sharoshes cholok, take a little piece of wood that has a smooth tip, umananeya ba'osim makom, and move it up and down in that area, when the baby develops further, this is the area where the genitals would be. So even at this early stage, you'll be able to feel in the sachsich, if when you're doing the stick up and down, it catches the Jewish zachol, then you know it's going to be a zachol because you have the aver, whatever is going to develop into the aver is going to be sticking out, and therefore it'll catch. The imlav, and if it doesn't catch the Jewish and the kevahi, then you know that it's a girl, because then there's nothing for it to catch on. However, Amar of Nachman, Amar Rav Bavua, lo shonu elo milmas lemaila. So that test only works if you're moving the stick from the bottom going up, from the bottom end of this embryo going towards the head. Then you see whether it catches or not. Avum enough studding, but if you do it sideways and it catches, then that doesn't prove anything. Ema kotzle betarechem, you know. Then they could very well be the vaginal walls are catching it. So then that wouldn't be a valid test. So you have to adapt to do it. No, obviously, this is already after the woman that carried it. You're trying to find out, was it a boy or was it a girl? What does she have as far as you made from a matara? So then what Rav Nachman is telling us is, when you're doing this test, you have this little sphere in front of you, and you're taking a stick and seeing whether it catches or not. Make sure that you're doing the stick upwards. You're doing from the foot end and to the head end, not side to side. Because you do it side to side and it catches, it might just be catching on what was going to be the vaginal walls. Okay. Amar of Adaba Abba, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, im hoisen mekeva, if the baby was going to be a girl, nidona kisaura sduka, then you judge it by looking whether it looks like a split barley. In other words, Rashi says, we said before, what Rav Adaba Abba is adding, we said before in the Braisa, we just said nidona kisaura, but we didn't specify in what sense it's like a barley, it's like a grain of barley. So Rav Adaba Abba is clarifying what we mean is the cleft that you find in a grain of barley, that kind of cleft you would find if the baby is in a cave. Maski for Rav Nachman, but Rav Nachman asks, who says, if you find a cleft there, who says it represents a vagina that was going to form, and therefore that this is a girl? The Dilma Chutshal Beis Aminu, maybe that cleft was actually going to develop, maybe it was a boy, and this cleft was actually going to develop into the Chutshal Beis Aminu you have on the scrotum, on the sack with the Beis Aminu in it. You have a little groove that runs down the middle of it, that divides one side from the other, so maybe it's that. I'm going to buy it. I buy it. It can't be. Have to base him. Go fire. At this early stage of the baby's development, you don't even have base him. Chutzal base him. Yeah. Is the cleft between them going to be noticeable? Obviously not. So if there's a cleft, then you know that it's a girl. Okay, so the point of all this is, if you're able to do these tests and you're able to find out, then fine, you know it was a boy or you know it was a girl. If you don't find out, if there's nothing there, that if you don't see a cleft and you know nothing catches, then you're not sure. So that's when we say Teisha was also going to case. Amram of Amram, Tana, so Rav Amram says, let's add some extra details from another Braisa, what the baby looks like at that stage. The two thighs of the baby, they're not really formed. They're not really noticeable as legs yet. We said before, he doesn't really have delineated hands and feet. But Rav Amram is saying that the two sides of it look at that point, they look like two crimson threads. Like two threads of crimson wool. But Amar of Amram, the hymn is crimson dyed wool. Yeah. But Amar of Amram, Allah. No, not velvet. Crimson dyed wool. The wool that's been dyed. Yeah. But Amar of Amram, Allah kashal Eved. Rav Amram himself clarifies that what the Braisa means is they look like two threads of Eved. You have Shesi threads and Eved threads that are used in weaving. The Shesi threads that stay there on the loom and the Eved that goes back and forth. The Eved threads are thicker. So therefore, the legs, the thighs of the baby at that point are slightly thicker. The two arms also look like two crimson threads. But Amram Allah Kashal Shesi. Rav Amram says on that braisa that he quoted that the arms are thinner and they look like threads of Shesi, which are thinner than Ava. So in other words, the Shesi are the vertical threads that stay there on the, well, it could be vertical, it could be horizontal, depends how you have the loom set up. But whatever, the Shesi are the ones that stay in place. The ones that are wrapped around the beams on top and bottom, they're thinner. Because they stay in place, they can be thinner. The Erev goes back and forth. You don't want it to snap in the middle, therefore they have to be a little bit thicker. Okay. Amala Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Now, so all this time we've been talking about, so you have this Shvir Merukam, and we're saying that if we're able to tell that it's a boy, then she has a dinim of Tuma and Tara for a boy, and if it's a girl, then a girl, and if we're not sure, then we set a suffix. But Amala Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, shin enough, a sharp one, or big tooth one, or whatever, loy savid uvda ad shiyasir. Don't paskin in practice that the woman, that the mother should have yemei tara unless the baby has hair on its head, which is a bit of, which is a later stage of development. Because when you have such early stages, we can't really be sure what it is, whether it's a boy, whether it's a girl. We can't always be sure that it was a baby and not some kind of mutant thing like we learned before that might not have even been considered a baby at all. Once it starts developing hair, then you can assume that she has yemei tara. So the question is, did Shmuel really say that? We said before on Amud Aleph that Shmuel had said that even if you only have a sphere that's full of liquid or flesh or whatever, then we have to be choshesh that it was a baby. So why is he saying, when he says loy savid uvda, the Gemara is assuming that it means don't paskin that it's a baby at all, not as far as you may tuma and not as far as you may tara. But Shmuel said on Amud Aleph that you have to be choshesh. So what is it? The answer is Amirav Ami Vashmuel, but the deem of partially minay de Mar Shmuel. Mar Shmuel personally explains to me what it means is lochosh chayshesh. Sure, when you have a shvir, even before it's a shvir merukam, even when all that's inside it is liquid or flesh or whatever, you still have to consider, just to be on the safe side, that she's coming. But you may tara lo yavin la achiyasir. But when it comes to you may tara, then you only give that, then you only allow her, you may tara, when the baby has developed hair. So in other words, if she were to miscarry a shvir merukam, like what we just described, then, okay, so if we figure out that it was a boy, then she's going to have 7 days of tumah. If we figure out it was a girl, she's going to have 14. If we're not sure, then she's going to have 14 misafis. But the 33 days of Yemei Tara, or the sort of for a boy, or the 66 for a girl, that she'll only have if the baby had developed enough to have hair. Before that, she won't have Yemei Tara.
Without hair,
it's only the 7 days or 14 days of tumah. And after that, any bleeding after that, it's a suffix whether she's tumah or tara. Once it has hair, then she can have her normal 33 or 66 Yemei Tara. So the question is, remember, the Masakula the Shmuel, are you telling me that Shmuel has a suffix? At what point the baby is considered developed? But we know that Shmuel was a big expert. We said on Amud Aleph that Shmuel checked all the cases where there's a shvir miscarried in the Haudah. And further, one time a shvir that a woman had miscarried was brought to Mar Shmuel, Omar, and he said, I can see by the developmental stage of it, this comes from a baby that has been in the womb for 41 days exactly. He was able to tell by the stage of development. Now, what Shmuel then did is he started calculating, okay, when did the woman go to mikveh, and when did she miscarry, and by counting up the number of days, it turned out to be only 40 days, so 1 day is missing. And Shmuel says to them, "Hi, Benidabal. This guy must have had relations with his wife before she went to Mitzvah, 1 day early, while she was still a Nidah. Because if the baby has been developing for 41 days, and she only went to the Mitzvah for 40 days, because that's the point. He was able to tell. That's the point. Kafte, and in fact, what they did is they tied up this guy, Ba'odi, and they forced him to admit. So in other words, so we see that Shmuel is a great expert at being able to tell how far along an embryo. Yeah, apparently.
So that's
he said that there are some who are showing him like that, right? But the point is that the point is, why is Shmuel saying we have to consider it a suffix and only after the baby develops hair do we give her Yemei Tara just to be on the safe side? What does Shmuel need on the safe side? The answer is Shiny Shmuel de Rav Gubra. Shmuel was a special case. He was particularly powerful. He was particularly bucky. But not everybody else is so bucky. So therefore, Shmuel is saying to Rav Yehuda and to everybody else, you who are not such experts as I am, then you have to wait till the baby develops hair before you can say that the mother has Yemei Tara. Myself, I would be able to tell at a much earlier stage.
Is he bound by the Allah?
If he's able to tell, then he's able to tell, sure. Mishnah says, Hamapela sandal holder. We had in the Mishnah that if a woman miscarries a sandal, then she's tome for the birth. And we said Teshav Lazachar Lamakeva. We have a suffix whether it's a boy or a girl, because it's flattened out, and therefore she has to have the Yemei Tumah for a girl and the remaining Yemei Tara for a boy.
Sandal means
a flattened out baby. So as the Gemara is going to explain over here, what it means basically is that two babies in the womb, one of them grew at the expense of the other one, so it flattened out the other one. It pushed against it, like, or whatever, and caused it to get flattened out. So Tananabon, and Sandal Doimala Dog Shoyum, the sandal resembles a certain kind of fish that's in the sea, like a flounder or some other kind of a flat fish like that. Mitchilose Vlad, who it started out as a normal baby, Elishanir stuff, but it was flattened out, and that's how it became to look like a sandal. Reb Shimon Gamliel defines it differently. Sandal Doimala Loshin Shal Shur HaGadol. The sandal resembles the tongue of a large ox. Again, it's long and flat, basically. Mishum Rabbi Seinu Heidu, they said Eidus in the name of Rabbi Seinu, in the name of our rabbis, that sandal tzarech tzuras ponim, that in order for it to be considered a sandal for this purpose and for the mother to be tamei from the birth, then it has to have tzuras ponim. It has to have that it has facial features on it. Now Rashi explains. We learned yesterday or the day before. We said that when pon of tuchos, we said if the face is completely flattened out, then eni mitzmei aleda. The difference is Rashi says that over here, there we're talking about it was a single birth. So how does it come to have a flattened face? It's obviously a deformed baby. Over here, there is another birth with it. There is another baby with it. So therefore, we know that this one got flattened out by the first one, and therefore it was a legitimate baby. It was actually forming in the normal way, and that's why it has facial features. It just got flattened out by the other one, as opposed to before we were talking about there's no other baby with it. Almer of Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha Sandal Tzarek Tzuras Ponim. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that in fact is the halacha for it to be considered a sandal and the woman to be tamei from giving birth to it. It has to have facial features. Amar of Abba, Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yitzchak Sandal Tzarek Tzuras Ponim. Again, the sandal to be considered a sandal has to have facial features. Va'afivu me'achodav, and then the din would be it's considered a sandal even if those facial features are on the back of it. Even if you don't, so like you have, the baby is flattened out, so like you can recognize what was originally the front and what was originally the back of the baby. So now let's say you find these facial features on what was supposed to be the back. He would say that in that case, it's not a normal face. Nevertheless, it is. Moshal Adam Shasotar Chaber, the Heftikonim La'Chorav, because you can picture it like you have, a person slaps somebody else and causes his face to turn around. So in this case, when this baby got flattened out, its head was forced to turn backwards, and that's why you find there. That's why you find the face where you don't expect it. Gemara continues. Bimei Reb Yannai bikshu l'tayr a sandal. In Reb Yannai's time, the Chachamim wanted to declare that a woman who miscarries a sandal should be tahor. That does not have facial features. That's the point. Omalahem Rabbiane says you can't do that. See how to myself logic. Then in effect you're saying that even if a woman gives birth to a normal baby, then it's not considered a birth. The fact that, in other words, Rabbiane is disagreeing with what we said before. Even if it doesn't have a face at all, it's still a sandal. So the question is, what do you mean? Bahatani Mishum Abisenu Heido Sandal Sarah Surafanim. Didn't we just say that it does require a surafanim? The answer is Amar Rabbi Bibabai, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Me'edjuste, Shorab Yechanan, Shorab Nechunya, Nishnet Mishnezu. That Mishnah, meaning that Braisa, saying that it needs a Tzuras Ponim, that was based on the Edus of Rab Nechunya. Rab Nechunya came to Beis Medrash and gave Edus on this halacha. That doesn't mean that it's the last word on it, because he's only a Daf Yochid after all. Okay, the Chachamim accepted that, Rabbi Seinu accepted that. That doesn't mean Rab Yana can't disagree with him.
The halacha
is, but now we're saying not necessarily, because Rabbi Yechon, we're saying, in other words, that after all, where did that halacha come from? It came from Rabbi Nechunya, and Rabbi Nechunya is a single person. So therefore, yes, the Rabbi Seinu accepted it, but that doesn't mean that Rabbi Yana can't disagree with that. They accepted Rabbi Nechunya's testimony, but now Rabbi Yana is saying that's not right. They shouldn't have. Because it's only a daf yachid. So the Gemara points out, Omer of the Eira, Zochabar Rabibi B'Shmaite. Rabibi had the schus to say over this teaching from Rabbi Yechanan. Because the Anogu who have Yasvin and Kameh de Rabbi Yechanan, because actually both Rabibi and I, Rabbi the Eira, were sitting at Talmidim in front of Rabbi Yechanan, Ki Omer LaHoshmaite, when Rabbi Yechanan said this statement, the Kodim Ihu V'Omer V'Zochabar. But Rabibi had the mazel that he was the first one to say it over, and therefore now it's being said over in his name. So this statement, that this whole concept of sandal tzarech tzuras ponim comes from Rabbi Nechunya, Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira both heard that together from Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi had the mazel that he's the one who said it over first to the other Chachamim, and therefore it became accepted in his name. So the halacha is indeed like Rabbi Yanai, that even if it doesn't have a surah sponim, nevertheless it's still considered a baby. What we have to deal with, and we'll talk about tomorrow, is if anyway a sandal was always accompanied by a baby, then what's the difference whether she's tummy later or not? Either way, she's tummy later from the normal baby that goes with it. That we're going to talk about soon. We'll talk about that tomorrow. That's the same. Okay.